the social media stuff.
Kat got mad and messaged me and said, "You're wrong."
No,
Matt.
I that was after she messaged me and said the same thing. I'm always convincing people to join TikTok.
Very you know who convincing. You're not convincing?
Well, you know who's missing out on viewers? You guys.
What am I going to show them? Here's the pencil I use.
You can show them, right? Just like, I don't know. I'm sure there's writers on TikTok. You just got to get creative with it.
I mean, go look right now and you're going to see the stupidest. I promise you, because I've already done it.
Well, then you could be the first one to make it not stupid. 45 million views for writers, just saying.
Yeah, but of what, Kat?
I don't have time
it's
to look at it.
Stupid writing challenges that are
do
like.
Want, do you want to hear TikTok music right now?
But here's how I script. No, because that's the problem we're talking about.
TikTok
they're like,
music.
Here's how I do calligraphy. And it's a 5-second video of them writing their name with tape.
A
over
lot of
the middle,
it is artists.
And they rip the tape off and it's like, oh, cool. There's a gap in their name in the middle. Please, man. Please.
So you are on TikTok.
No, but I've seen the videos.
No, because they put them on Facebook.
For how long?
For how long what?
For how long have you been on TikTok? Like looking at content.
I looked up writers a couple of times. That's
about all. That's it. That's it. That's not enough.
You're right. There's not enough to keep me entertained. There's not enough to keep me engaged or to feel like the writing community on there is worth
it. You know what? It's okay. It's okay. This is when we start calling you guys boomers. That's all.
I'll take it.
Okay, Joe's a busy man. Let's get this podcast rolling.
Yeah, let's do this.
Why would we bother doing podcasts?
I don't know.
Yeah, we think about that a lot.
Would just be a print artist?
Better.
Leave a comment that's hashtag this is awkward.
Hey guys, if you're into dark fantasy and horror and suspense and mystery and a plot that you can really just let yourself go into, then listen, we got something to tell you. June 2nd over on Kickstarter, we launch Welcome to Everville number 1. It is the first horror comic book for Catalyst Comic Studio. And it's a doozy. It's one that we really think people are going to enjoy. We're trying to take it back to some classic stuff with a deeper storyline than just a slasher. So if you want to get invested with something new and you want to help us fund this book, then be looking all over our social media and join our Discord as well. We're going to release the trailer soon so you can check out all the stuff we have coming up for Welcome to Everville number 1 coming to Kickstarter June 2nd. Mark your calendars.
Welcome to Beards and Comics Podcast. We are finishing the artist roundtable discussion because Joe had to go attack somebody. So he had to disappear really quick. And he's just got out of prison and we're ready to finish this conversation. So we're going to keep going.
Kat's, he took Kat's advice and threatened somebody.
It didn't go well with you. You're not doing it right.
We just finished bailing him out. But we're going to keep going with what we were talking about before. So if you missed the first part, then go back, check it out before you listen to this one. So we're in a work for hire section. And the next question that we have is, what are some things to look for in an artist's work? So this is coming from a writer who's looking to hire artists. What are some things that they should be looking for when they look at an artist for a potential hire?
Who's answering first? What's your random selection?
Take it away, Joe.
I feel like that's more of a writer's question, isn't it?
It is like, absolutely a writer's question.
Okay. I was just making sure.
But it's good to hear it from the artist's perspective. Like, hey, here's some things that you should probably look for when and you're going to hire someone.
Can they get the point across? I think that's important.
Kat said it.
Can they get
the point across? Can they tell the story? I ask people all the time who are looking at my pages that I'm working on, like, tell me what's going on this page. And usually my daughter, she'll look over my shoulder and she'll tell me what's going on the page. Man walks across the floor. He opens the door. He dodges something. Is it all visible? Can you tell the visual story? That's really what any writer who's looking to hire an artist should be looking for. That, and does the style fit the story?
Yeah. That's actually what I was going to add in, was does the style match the story? We've talked about it before a couple of times where Matt and I kind of bounce off of each other. That's part of the benefit of having a co-ownership is if a project comes up and I'm like, you know, here's this script, this style is in my head, then Matt's either like, dude, I know somebody that does that style, that we've looked at their work before. He has a good memory with that stuff. So I think getting the style to fit the script is pretty important too.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Yeah, that was that's definitely one of the things. It's the same thing we did with Kat.
Right.
She was.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
You guys
it was
liked
just,
my style. Yeah, I didn't even know I had said, a style.
Oh, you do?
I mean,
I do.
Here's the difference.
Absolutely.
That's our job, is to see that and go, you know what? There's potential. Just
I hate that word.
We just have to get her to not be mean.
That's impossible to me. That is impossible. I'm trying.
You do have a style, and like I said, it's getting your style to progress to being able to do what Joe said. All we got to do is get you to tell the story. That's it.
Yeah, that's the part. That
clearly,
and
that's it. Like, and you'll get better.
That's the part I'm struggling with. Like, I know when something is right and I know when something is wrong. So I'm still trying to get it right.
That's why she flips the canvas.
Yeah, and yell
Kat,
at people.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Hey, Kat, when you work on your pages, do you start figures first or do you start in your environment? What do you do? How do you approach it?
I start figures. I'm more comfortable with making people. And then I just kind of fill the background.
Can I suggest something?
Sure.
I would suggest start with your environment, because trying to fit an environment to your figure work is a lot harder than putting figures in a field. So if you start with your environment, you'll know what the perspective should be. You know what they should be. Like if they're handling something, if they're touching a tree or jumping over a lake, you know that that has to be there first. So
I actually did that with the prints that I'm still trying to line art is hard for me. I'm still trying to line art that thing. But I actually, now that I think about it, I actually drew a tree for the left side of the drawing, and I ended up drawing the character over it. And now that you mention it, it was easier to kind of place her because I knew how tall she should be and things like that.
It's always easier to place figures in an environment than it is to create that environment around them.
Yeah, it's definitely easier to drop that perspective grid, especially to the fact that you have the digital tools. Go ahead and figure out where that vanishing point is going to be, because then you know how the camera is going to look. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know if that camera's right on the ground, you know if it's all cutting across people, if you're staring all at the same thing, you know, it's one of those, you know, like Joe said, it's just a lot easier having that, because, I mean, like Joe said, putting a background behind somebody is 1,000 times harder. It's just so much more difficult.
I never thought of it like that. So that's something I'm definitely going to try.
If you put that bar, like say if you put a bar in there, you already know exactly how that person's going to sit on that stool and how tall they are compared what I'm saying? As opposed to like, let me draw that bar to fit under his arms. Like it's
that makes sense.
It's just going to be kind of weird.
Happen.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. But anyway, back to Aaron's question. Make sure an artist can tell a story.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Style is important too, like you said, like Joe said. And then, like I said, if having those two or three things is important to where it, like with Kat, like we already knew, okay, she's just got a little, but she's cool. She's got a good style. We just got to get her storytelling up to where it should be. And then,
And to stop yelling at people.
Yeah. Yeah,
mainly.
Mainly at us.
Is this an intervention?
All right, break out the banners, guys. All right. Anything else to add to that one?
No, I think we hit on that. You know, the question was, what should writers be looking for at artists? And honestly, those are the answers.
Yep. All right. Joe, this is mainly going to be for you just because you've the other two people on this podcast have only seen, well, I know they've seen other scripts, but they've only worked off of my script. So what style of script do you prefer to receive from a writer?
What style of script?
Yeah, so there, you know, there's like the Marvel style, and then there's the...
I gotta say that it's always a real treat when I get an actual comic book script, because so many writers, you know, they write in screenplay format and they just say, hey, I've got a script. You want to read it? Sure, of course. You know, and so I'll read their screenplay and inform them, you know, you need a page count. You need all of these things need to be done. So you're going to either rewrite this screenplay as a comic book script, or I can just wing it from your screenplay and you can keep paying me forever.
So exactly. Do they do like screenplay, like are they literally like act one? Like, and then you've got to like pull whatever from it.
No, I've received screenplays, prose, straight up plays, everything. The minority is the comic book script. But that's absolutely what I prefer to get. And I read at least 2-3 scripts a week. It used to be way more, but since my schedule's filled out, I've slowed down.
Yeah, definitely. I know from my perspective, I just went through a thing with Sammy, who we have brought on to script Silhouette solo series. And so she wrote out the scene that she had in her head. She has no history of actually forming a comic book script. However, when she had sent me some of her stuff from before, her world building is fantastic. Once we get the script, Joe, I'll send it to you just so you can kind of see how her brain works. It's very similar to mine. But the way that she wrote it was very cinematic. And I told her, this is very much the way that my scripts start, is you write it cinematic. This is the story, the huge outline. And then you break that down and turn it into a script. That's what you send the artist so they don't get mad, or so you don't, you know, pay for 100 pages for a 22 page story. But it's interesting to hear you say that people are still doing that. I don't know, because the writers I talk to, I only talk to a few different writers. And for the most part, I assume we all script similarly, but I really don't know because we don't share scripts. So.
I mean, writers are artists too, and everybody has their own style. You know, Sam Bruch, who does Cop Number 2, his style of writing is very comedic, but it's in an ironic way. You know, his world building, he built an entire world where superheroes exist and civil servants are the basically the bottom of the caste system, you know, and he writes in screenplay format. Sam, I love you, but you write in a screenplay, and this is why volume one was 45 pages. Volume two is 60 pages. Volume three is threatening at over 100 pages.
Whoa.
Just to get this story done, you know? So in three volumes, I'm going to have over a 200 page trade coming out of this.
But that is one what sick happens portfolio. When you write
in screenplay.
That one guy is going to make your omnibus. That's awesome in the worst kind of way. I mean, that's cool that you take on that task. I know a lot of artists that if they saw that, they would just be like, nah, I'm not doing that. And I can't blame them. I definitely don't blame them.
That would honestly break me right now. Like, there's just no way. Like, you just, it's on a different level.
Fetal if you
don't, if you don't have that kind of like, you know, work under your belt to like have learned under, and somebody just, that's what I always tell you. Never sit there and start with like, don't do anything crazy. You're just getting started in comic books. You know, it's just like, I had watched a thing with Ryan Ottley on how he got started. And when he was working with you know, Robert Kirkman on Invincible and stuff like that. And he said he would just find people on writing blogs or DeviantArt or something that had like a little 3-page story, 4-page story. And he would just do those to get himself up to steam. And then once he got faster and more confident with it, then he would do 10-page stories, then full books. And then he finally got faster at doing those to where he could finish a full book and not feel that, oh my God, I have 80 pages of this book. Yeah, to do. There's no way.
It's a daunting thing to look at, you know? Mm-hmm. When you know you have to do so many pages, it's really hard to get yourself even started. And what Matt was saying about doing the short stories, my DeviantArt is full of short stories that I did, both Marvel stuff, DC stuff, one-page stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, some of it I did just for fun, and others I did as part of a competition. It's building yourself up to that point. You know, it may seem like to my clients that I did one page for you this week, but it's, you know, it's in full color, it's lettered, it's a fully polished comic book page. But I didn't spend all week doing that. You know, I have 4 different clients that I'm working with right now. So, you know, some jobs it'll be I finish 4 or 5 pages in a week, and other jobs it'll be I finish a page in a week. You know, but if you're going to juggle and be doing between 8 and 15 pages a week, you definitely have to build up to that. You can't start there.
Sound advice.
Yeah, no, I definitely cannot.
Definitely sound advice. All right, so really all of these are all questions that people sent us. So I'm pretty much just going to read them as people sent them, and then we can try to decipher them if they don't completely make sense. So this one, I mean, it's pretty straightforward, but do people only care about fan art?
Not in my experience, but
good question.
I think that splits up into categories. You know, do they care about fan art? Most of my commissioners, the people that come to me for artwork, no, they're not asking for pictures of Superman or Batman. They're asking for their OCs. You know, they want to see their idea on the page. But at conventions, try to sell an OC. Go ahead. Yeah. I dare you. At a convention, if you're not selling Superman, Batman, Hulk, and all the rest, you're not selling anything.
No. The only original character, like prints that we've sold, were only ever sold at a show as part of the package. It was always people would come up, they'll buy the books, which is great. We'd rather them buy the books anyway. But, you know, we make these cool prints to go with them if you want to have that character on your wall or whatever. And the only time we would ever see them go is if, you know, people bought stuff in a package or things together.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, like Joe said, I mean, at the convention, you're fighting against the wall of fan art prints that they've already spent, like, that's all they do is fan art, which is fine if that's what you want to do. But again, we're here on this podcast to talk about comic book creation. You know, we're not the ones to ask about that. Cause like, to be honest, I like drawing them here and there, but like I get more satisfaction, obviously out of finishing a page.
Yeah. I mean,
like you can ask Kat, like, how good did you feel after that first page of thumbnails was just
really
amazing.
Good. I was like, flipped
that feels so something. Much better than doing a character that somebody else drew. You're drawing your own characters that you're a part of helping
that
come to life.
Me.
You know, like
the sense of satisfaction.
It's
that you
so
get
it's so much better.
Yeah.
A long time ago, one of my teachers was like, why don't you draw something else? You're always drawing other people's work. And I got so offended. I was like, I want to draw whatever I want. And then I really sat down and thought about it. And I was like, he's right. I need to start drawing my own stuff. And so that prompted me to start doing that. And with fan art, I think people like things that they have a strong emotional connection to. So if someone like is on Instagram and they see a picture of Raven, they're going to like it if it's good or not. So I think that should encourage people to make art that, you know, will get people inspired. Right. So it shouldn't make someone think, oh, I only have to draw fan art. Like, you can do it if you really, really want to, but also use that as a way, as a gateway to make something of your own that could eventually be something that people will make fan art of.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Like, creating your own IP, because I mean, Raven was the same thing as any other character somebody created. Nobody knew who she was. Nobody knew anything about her until it was, you know, hopefully, you know, like 20 years from now, somebody be like, oh, I got to draw that tilt.
That's right.
Well, 20 years ago, Raven did.
Well, it's already happened.
Like, the most popular comic book of that decade. Right. So that did help her a little bit, you know.
Right.
They did cartoons featuring the Titans. They did feature her. So, yeah, DC didn't drop the ball in the marketing. You know, they absolutely put that character out there, and it shows. People love it. Having done the conventions, and I post up fan art. Oh, I used to post up fan art quite a bit. You know, people like to see it, but I haven't seen it lead to sales. I haven't seen my fan art that I've done of DC characters, Marvel characters, hell, some indie characters. I haven't seen any of that lead to commissions.
But you sure keep busy.
I try.
I know. That's what I'm saying. When you're developing something beyond just doing a fan art piece, then I think you feel more invested, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a natural thing. That's when Joe and I talk after tilts are done and we have to ship them to him, we both are relatively excited just to get those books in our hands.
Yeah, absolutely. Every new book that I do, when it arrives at my house as a physical copy, it's a little bit of a charge, you know? It definitely amps me up. I love it.
We were trying to tell Kat.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, it's a whole different level, man.
I think you will actually lose your mind. The first time
I'm going to cry.
I think she might hit somebody.
Yeah, when we first.
I think I'm going to cry and then punch a wall. That sounds like me.
Yeah.
When we got Paradigm, like the fact that it was just the first one.
It got quiet for a minute when we got it.
Yeah, it was just.
When you open that box, man, it gets quiet for a second.
I was like, oh, man.
This is real.
It's here, guys. There.
We did a thing.
We did it, man. It's amazing. That's what I'm saying. Like, for better or worse, like, you made something finally. Like, just getting that first one under your belt. Like, after that, me and Aaron are like, all right, what's next? like Joe said, you get charged up. Like, dude, we could do better. It's going to be awesome. Let's keep rolling.
Yeah. And I feel that way already, like page by page, like even though
print too, though, is because that feeling of like when you get it actually in your hand, it's so different than being like, you know, when we finish the pages and we send it off to print, it's like, you know, the book's done or whatever. But then when you actually get it, it's like, oh my God, the book's really done.
All right.
This one I don't really understand what it means for an artist, but is it harder to create main characters or side characters? That was the extent of the question from beginning to end.
Main characters, because I think more thought has to go into them.
Are they talking about the design of the character? Because otherwise, isn't the character creation on you?
Well, Joe, that was the extent of the question from beginning to end. So like for the superhero stuff, that was pretty much a, here's what I think they should look like, Matt, and then let Matt draw them.
Pretty much.
Now, a art style is different. I actually let Kat design those characters, which is something we swore we were never going to let other people do. It just kind of happened, probably because Matt's busy. And so we were just like, just let her have fun.
It was fun. It got me really invested.
Well, you also, that style of book, I don't think Matt would have been able to kind of nail the
the little nuanced stuff too, because Matt doesn't mess with fantasy that much. So,
well, I mean, that's what, yeah, that's what I said. Like, we liked your style enough to let you do it too. Like, if we didn't think, like, well, I don't see her character creation being that great. No, I mean, like,
yeah,
your style already looked like the characters we wanted in the book.
Right.
So why would we not let you just figure it out if you're going to draw them? That's more time you're spending with those characters as opposed to getting through half the book before you realize how to draw them correctly.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, like, you don't really want to do that and develop them, which a lot of people do. I mean, like, I've done that. I'm still doing that sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just those little things where I haven't nailed it perfectly on exactly how it is. And any book, you have to have that character design sheet.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
On the wall, profile, straight ahead, three quarter. So you see that face every time. Like, so you know what angle. He looks like. Every angle. Yeah, exactly. And that's something like you just might skip that step by accident, or you're just so excited to get involved in the drawing, or like me and probably you, Kat, like I was so overwhelmed on learning everything. Perspective, you know, like environments, you know, like just overall comic book storytelling, that you start to, it all gets jumbled up and you're just trying to get something done. So, but that character,
yeah, I'm super overwhelmed, mainly with the layout of pages. Like, character design is something that comes naturally to me because, like, I'm always sketching people and I know what they should look like, and so getting to the point where you have to place those characters in a story, that's where my mind is like, how do I do this? Because most of my art is just like either portraits or just characters in a certain pose. There's not much background or thought into like the story of the character that I've drawn. So this is like a whole different ballpark for me, but I feel like I've learned a bit already just by doing these two pages and reworking the second page.
Yeah, so
Joe, have you had to mess with actual character creation, like from the ground up before? Or do you typically? Course. Okay.
Yeah. I've done my own stuff before where I've had to design everything, create everything. And I've worked with writers that they hand off a script and there's no descriptions. You know, so I informed them. So is this just like a naked man walking around? You know, what's he wearing? What does he look like? You've given me nothing to work with. And then that's where, you know, my design comes in, you know, because if I want to do the book, then I have to draw something. So I help them in the character creation part, at least the aesthetics. Right. Working with Sam on Cop Number 2, let me tell you, Volume 3 is going to have a battle extravaganza of about 75 different superheroes. God. All of them dressed differently, all of them with their own design, and they're on a double page spread in a battle royale in the downtown of this city. And yeah, I've been designing those characters for probably the past year.
Man.
Like one at a time, you know, as I have a minute, and I put those sketches in a folder and they're there just waiting for me to eventually get to that page.
Right.
That's crazy.
It takes time. I much prefer going into a book and the design being there, the design being established. And then, you know, given a little bit of creative freedom, you know, okay, well, this is the design, make it your own type of thing. You know, I think I was literally quoting Aaron there. You know, like, this is the design, make it your own. And I didn't change much because Matt, chops to you, brother. I mean, you designed a good character there. I like it a lot.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things where I was like, I told Aaron, I said, okay, yeah, well, let's just try and, like, come up with something. One, because I already know, not like you, where you like to draw tactical gear, I was so new that I was like, okay, I have to make their suits definitely more simplistic because I'm going to have to remember it. You know, like, that's why a lot of superhero suits are just spandex and they're drawn a little bit different, or where their cut is different, because the artists have that hard time. Like I don't want to Rob Liefeld it and draw like 1,000 pouches on this figure every single panel.
Follow him. panels. Exactly.
Or Kingdom Hearts and have a bunch of belts everywhere.
Exactly. Like, I don't want to draw that all the time. Like, yes. I mean, and that, I think that's where people have that problem with, like, team books, where they have to draw so many characters, like, and that gets hard. So I can only imagine, like, drawing 75 on a double-page spread.
Oh, man. That page is going to be probably my next heart attack.
Yeah. But that's actually why I tropishly played with Tilt in the first two issues, where it's like, you know, you see him the 15 years ago in the tactical gear, then you see him in the Tilt t-shirt with the jeans, then you see him in a white suit. You know the white suit's not going to work because he's going to get blood on it, and then he ends up in the blue suit. Like, I purposely played on that whole trope of superhero costumes just for that.
I loved that his costumes and his clothing are changing, like, periodically throughout the story. I love that. How many times have I railed at the sky saying Clark Kent owns more than one suit? You know, it gets just so ridiculous at a certain point. Like, come on, these people are changing clothes, aren't we? Right. Aren't we all? A superhero or not, I don't care. He's not staying every day in that spandex.
Yeah, and for God's sake.
It would smell really bad.
You know, Patrick until it's going to take his shirt off. He has to have the opportunity to. That is one of his costumes, for God's sake.
Fan service.
That's right.
I just did that page.
That's awesome. All right. How many hours do you spend on a page? Kat, we'll start with you.
So far, it's been, well, I can't really say because I just started two, but I guess planning a page takes me an hour and a half because I'm like super anal about everything. Like the chat bubble how do you say, you guys say balloons?
Word balloons?
Balloons. Like everything has to be perfectly oriented in my mind. So it takes me a while to think about it. But if I...
Kat,
if
you I'm going to blow you.
Wait, what?
I'm going to blow your mind. For all of that time that you spent on the word balloons, making sure that there's placement for everything, the first person who speaks in a panel needs to be on the left.
Oh, I know that.
Okay, good. So many people don't know that. So many people don't know that. So you know that. That's excellent. Yeah. That's excellent. Okay,
yeah, I figured it would make more. I mean, I didn't like technically knew that, but like it made sense in my head. Like if they're going to be reading, like.
Yeah, it's an actual rule.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if it's not drawing pages, then I would say 2 hours a day. Like before I started working on a comic.
I have I'm not trying to be like all philosophical because I'm not, but like I don't count the hours. Like I don't want to count the hours. Like at that point it makes you feel like you're rushed, and then it makes you feel, then you're going to feel like you're not good enough, because when you get that done and you say, oh, I spent 15 hours on this and it still looks like garbage compared to this person. You know what I'm saying? Like you can't do it. Like you have to go with where you are as an artist and what your goal is for that. Like, I don't care how long it takes me to do my thumbnails and my page layout, because I'm sure Joe will probably agree. That's the most important part. That's the scaffolding.
Absolutely.
If you don't, if you don't take that time on that first part, the rest of it's not going to matter. Mm-hmm. It's the lipstick on the pig problem. Like, it doesn't matter how pretty the rendering is. If it's out of proportion or the perspective's off, the whole page is going to be bad. So like, don't stress yourself out over it. Sometimes it takes me, I've had pages where you can ask Aaron, I've probably finished them in 2 days, where like I did it and everything came out of my head kind of how I wanted. Like the page kind of just fell out. Other times it's a battle. Other times it's a battle for every panel to make sense. And something's just
off. That's how I feel right now.
It's not going to work. But like you know, it's just one of those things. Sometimes that one panel is just like, oh man, that composition came out sweet. I love it. Shoo. That's it. I don't need to thumbnail 18 more to see if it'll work better. Like, I'm good with that. That tells the story exactly how I wanted it to. Exactly. So, but I mean, time off. Yeah. Sometimes it'll take me a week to do a page. Sometimes it'll take me 2 days. You know, it just really depends on, again, how crazy Aaron's writing is, how much of that knowledge I already have, how much reference I have to look up. There's just so much involved to even, like, you know, Joe's drawn probably a million cars, you know, like I've drawn 10. like dead serious. Like, I've probably drawn 10. I need tons of reference. I'm sure Joe looks up reference. I'm sure he, you know, like, you just have to. Yeah.
You just have absolutely. To do it. Hey, if the script calls for, like, a Toyota Elantra, I want to draw a Toyota Elantra. I'm not going to draw a Mustang. So, yeah, you absolutely need reference to do comic books. You know, especially
or drawing a box on wheels.
Yeah.
Can't just draw the box on wheels and just be like, that's a car.
Well, it all starts there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It all starts as blocks on wheels or cylinders and circles.
Shapes, man. Everything. It's all shapes, man.
Exactly that. I harp on that to my daughter, who's in university right now, is that it's everything. Everything is shapes. I don't care what class you're in. You could be in life drawing or painting or anything. It's all shapes. Finding those shapes. To answer the question, how much time do I usually spend on a page? It, like Matt said, it depends on so many different things. But more than anything else, it depends on what's going on the page, obviously. A conversational page, I can do 2-3 conversational pages in a day. No problem. If it's just two people talking, you know, that's not a difficult page at all. That double page spread we were talking about earlier, I'll probably spend a week on that. You know, so you have to approach all of these pages not worrying about the time, like Matt said, you know, not worrying about the time that you're going to put into it. Just make sure that you reach that goal when you're doing the thumbnails and the layouts. You know, make sure that you can look at it and see the story. You know, if you can see the story unfolding, you hit goal. Stay there. You know, if you feel the story is interrupted and blocky, and or even if a piece of the script is not what you're seeing, you know, go back and talk to the writer and say, hey, listen, this little bit of action sequence, can we work on that? Or it doesn't really make sense that this character did this thing in this panel. Can I move that? You know, don't be afraid to flex creatively. It's definitely going to help the page production along.
Yeah, that was one thing I wanted to ask Joe too, is how much does he actually end up going and saying, reading through a script? Because that's one thing I've started learning from reading Aaron's stuff, where, like, I know his vision is different than mine. And then I will read through it and I'll be like, well, let me just add a couple more sections to it because I want to emphasize a certain action, or I want to see if that will help push the story in a different way to feed it across better. And,
yeah,
you know, absolutely. Like, how much mm-hmm. pushback have you ever had that pushback from writers where, like, no, just go by the script. That's how I wrote it. Or are they, is in the indie writing community, are they pretty much more, definitely more open because they're independent stuff or what?
Well, I got to say that on my clients list, the writers are definitely more open. I work with Rodney Lockett at Iron Gate Comics, and he takes a lot of direction from me creatively, aesthetically, you know, and I've also encountered writers that are married to their vision and they want nothing else. You know, they put so much detail into the panel description that I've literally had to go back to them and say, listen, I'm not going to show one of these people eating a hot dog in the corner because it doesn't move the story along. You know, it doesn't work within the story.
In the story.
If you really need it, absolutely need that guy in the corner eating that hot dog, I'll put it there.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Usually that hot dog might be
that hot dog linchpin.
That hot dog kills Thanos.
No, is it an important part of the story? If it is, it's there. Absolutely. If it's not, okay, we'll negotiate.
From my perspective, too, just writing, I want that collaboration with an artist to be able to be like, what if we did it a little bit like this? So as long as, you know, it doesn't mess with the flow of the story, I don't care. As long as it makes sense on the page and it makes sense with the script. And even if it's not a complete congruence, you know, I think even in Tilt 2, again, you know, Joe's working off of scripts that I wrote 5 years ago. I don't even write the same way anymore.
Whoa.
I write similarly, but I'd like to think that I've grown. Joe does have a newer script from me that's probably pretty different than what Tilt 1 and 2 read as. But having that input, I think, is invaluable. And that's from any artist that I work with. The same with Matt, with Everville. That's why we're at 27 pages instead of 22.
When did you write A Bard's Tale? I'm curious.
Bard's Tale is pretty recent. You're probably working on the newest. Yeah, you're working on the newest script. Cool. There's another, but it all depends on the story too, and kind of where your mind goes, because there's another script that I sat down and busted out the whole script in one sitting, and it was just because it was all in my head. I got it all out there and I sent it to Matt, and I think it's probably Matt's favorite script to this point of stuff he wants to see developed. So it just depends on the story and where you want it to go. See, the superhero stuff, we've talked about it before, is I don't have an ending because I want it to keep going. Whereas some of these other stories, like A Bard's Tale, you know, I sent you that list of the motivation behind each of those mm-hmm. characters. There's so many stories that I want to tell all of them. So
yeah,
I don't.
There's so many directions we can take that.
Right. Some of them have a specific ending and some of them don't. Everville is only slated for 6 issues. So it has a specific ending that's kind of going to give us an opportunity to do other stuff. So I think having the same passion that an artist has to put into a page, I think a writer should be putting passion into each page as well. That's what makes the difference in a good story and a good comic. Not that I'm, you know, Neil Gaiman or anybody. All right.
One day, Aaron Gaiman.
I agree with you, Aaron. I think everybody has to approach a project with that same kind of passion. If you have somebody who's just there, yeah, okay, I'm phoning it in, you're not going to get the best work.
Right. Yeah. And then it's just learning that other stuff as you go, like working with all of you guys, it helps me kind of understand stuff as well. And I'm hoping a lot of writers will listen to these two episodes and understand kind of how things break down for you guys, so it can help in the writing process for future scripts as well.
Okay.
Everybody for Beards and Comics Podcast, please check out the stuff we have going on. Matt already mentioned the Kickstarter. Don't forget June 2nd. Put it on your calendars. Beards and Comics Podcast has a Discord, so jump on there if you want resources, if you're getting into the indie comics game and you want to see kind of the stuff that we look at when we're writing or we're arting. And check us out at catalystcomicstudio.com or all over social media, Catalyst Comic Studio, except for Twitter. That one's just Catalyst Comics with an X at the end. So check us out. We appreciate you guys, and until next time, arrivederci.